Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bet Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. Plenty to get through the title race. Well, is it still wide open? We'll get the thoughts from Mark Langdon later on in the show. There's been Champions League drama in midweek and FA Cup semi-finals to look ahead to. Mark, it's at that stage of the season now, isn't it, where it obviously depends who you support, but your season could be kind of just starting in the mind, or it could be just about over. By the look of your face, you're telling me that the Spurs' season is over. So what hope have you got left now?
Well, I mean, it was, I wouldn't say over. Jack, obviously not a, well, it depends if you're a bitter Spurs fan who just wants Arsenal to fail or everything, then maybe it's not been such a bad week. If you're actually somebody that wanted them to play in the Champions League, it would be slightly different, wouldn't it? Because Villa's win at Arsenal and then the subsequent defeats for sort of City and Arsenal in the Champions League means that unlikely to be five European places in the Champions League for Premier League teams. But there's a lot to play for still, up and down. And it is, I think we've been saying this the last few weeks, but around about that Grand National, Masters, World Snooker Championship time, the football is like, it's unrelenting. And you know, City, last night were thinking about a treble. By sort of Saturday evening, they might only have the Premier League left to play for. So that is how, you know, how important the games are. We've had some, those that followed the anti-post from the EFL have had a memorable midweek, Stockport and Portsmouth winning League One and League Two on the same night. I think the Portsmouth players absolutely went on a rampage, it looks like. As well, they celebrate more than me.
Have you heard some of the interviews with like the local radio stations with Pompey just slurring their way through?
It's just a public notice to say Wigan are about 4-1 to beat them this weekend. I don't know whether they'll all still be hung over, but it's a great time. And those Champions League games in midweek, I mean, how good were they, really? So much drama around all of them. If we start with the City game, I've given up trying to predict sort of Real Madrid, because it doesn't matter how much they're outplayed, they just seem to find a way to win these games. You know, City didn't do much wrong. 33 shots to a 9 on target to 3, 68% possession. And then at the end, it's Real Madrid celebrating. And their game against Bayern Munich in the semi-final looks a close one. Two teams where, you know, massive European pedigree. I don't think they're sort of, it's not the greatest ever additions of Real Madrid or Bayern Munich by a long way, but they're there, aren't they, in the semi-finals again. And then we've got Borussia Dortmund against our boys Paris Saint-Germain in the other semi-final, and two teams from the same group, wide open now.
Just on Real Madrid, I mean, you find it tough to call them. I think everyone does. It was interesting to hear Bellingham in his post-match interview said that one of the joys of playing under Ancelotti is they're almost off the cuff. Like, there's you kind of think, don't you, with modern football, like it's such intricate patterns of play and everything's meticulous. And actually, by the sounds of it, Madrid kind of approached that game and went, well, we'll have a bit of fun and we'll see what happens. And that's exactly what did.
I remember once referring to Carlo Ancelotti as the Italian Harry Redknapp that went down appallingly on TalkSport with loads of people coming in saying he's miles better than that. You know, like, look at the European Cups he's won. I didn't mean it sort of like, you know, pound for pound Harry Redknapp, but he is somebody that I think probably doesn't focus on the tactics quite, and doesn't have a philosophy quite as much as other coaches that are kind of, you know, at that top tier, if you like. He is somebody that, right, what have I got? Like, what does the situation need? And then how are we going to play? Whereas, say, Pep Guardiola, it's, we're going to play this way, and you know, it's the only thing we're going to do. Jurgen Klopp would be similar-minded. Jose Mourinho, similar-minded in a different way. And yet, I think Ancelotti is somebody that is very adaptable to the situation, but more just to the players that he's got. I would say, though, that the biggest thing about Real Madrid, the sort of the respect I got for them after that game, was how humble they were to actually go, we're not as good as Man City. We can't you know, we can't do what Man City can do. We're going to work hard. We're going to do a low defensive block. And we're just going to slog our guts out. And that's basically what they did for most of that game. They're throwing their bodies, you know, in the way of shots. They were you know, doing a lot of the dirty work that maybe sort of you wouldn't have associated with a Real Madrid team in the Galactico era, as an example. And they did it, and they found a way, as they so often do in this Champions League. I wouldn't be too harsh on Man City. Felt like they did most things right. The only maybe bit was extra time. I know they were tired, but they didn't create enough in extra time. They had another 30 minutes at home to get that sort of job done. And I think there was a Foden shot, wasn't there? But that was about it, really, in extra time. So that was, I think, the only thing I would sort of say as a negative against City. If they played like that, they would have settled for playing like that. They just didn't win the game.
You mentioned earlier, Mark, it was a great week in terms of those following in with the anti-post selections that you put up. Stockport, Portsmouth, obviously PSG, you've been sweet on from the start and going well in the Champions League. I mean, just talk us through where we're standing with the various kind of outright selections that you put up, because at the moment we're looking pretty good.
We have Man City to win the Premier League, Ipswich to win the Championship, Portsmouth for League One, Stockport for League Two, Chelsea and Bournemouth for the FA Cup. And then in the Champions League, we have Paris Saint-Germain. We then did go in again, didn't we, before sort of the knockout stages began. The City aspect of that is out. They're out of the Champions League. We've got Atalanta at 25-1 in the Europa League. We're speaking before their quarterfinal second leg against Liverpool. Please no Istanbul style comeback. And Lille against Aston Villa, that tie. I was furious that Lille got Aston Villa in the in that Conference League, because they're the two best teams in the competition, and you know, had they avoided each other, I think they would have been the final. But is what it is. They're playing tonight. Hopefully Lille can overturn it. But yeah, I feel like we're in a good position. I have had a number of people get in touch with me just that have got kind of various EFL and sort of domestic multiple bets going and whether they should cash out. My advice, actually, I've had people sort of email into customer services asking for advice on it. My sort of stock response is that I think it has to be a personal choice at this moment. You know, there'll be different amounts running on it, and it's not for me to say, really, like, how, you know, if I don't want to say to somebody, oh, let it ride, you know, be brave. If it's a sum of money that could, you know, make a significant difference to somebody. The only thing I would say is that, you know, this is a position we wanted to be in when those bets were placed, weren't they? So, you know, we've got two in the bag. Man City are favourites for the Premier League, and Ipswich are in with a shot. I still don't really fancy them, but they're still in there. And, you know, I've said Leeds, haven't I, for about the last month, but they can't win. Leicester can't win. Ipswich can't win. Maybe it'll be Southampton. But yeah, hard to call, I think, that Championship at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly the one most up in the air at the moment. But as you say, no team seemingly wants to win it at the moment. So it's going to be a fascinating last few weeks. Any last words on the Champions League, or should we move on?
All I would say was that Araujo, Barcelona, what are you doing, man? Like, you know, that tie, you just let him go through, let Barcola go through. He's wasteful in front of goal. Like, that decided that tie. Obviously, I was pleased from a Paris point of view, but just from a footballing point of view, like, you know, you do not commit that red card in that moment.
Absolutely. FA Cup semi-finals then. Let's get into it. Yeah, a couple of corking semi-finals to get stuck into this weekend. We shall start with Manchester City against Chelsea. This one at 5:15 on Saturday. Manchester City, 8-13 favourites, 16-5 the draw, 17-4 Chelsea. We have spent the last, 12 months, Mark, trying to figure Chelsea out. Are we any closer to understanding what they're about?
Not really. they're an inconsistent team. Even within games, they can be, you know, they can have 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes of really good play, then 10 minutes where they throw matches away. I feel like they are getting better. You know, the 6-0 against, was it 6-0, 5-0 against Everton? No, I lost count. Yeah, it was six, wasn't it? You lose count when it's 4-0 at half time and the game's, you know, was it? Yeah, it was a crazy game. I think that Chelsea are a team that are dangerous in these situations. They are somebody that's capable of beating Manchester City. They've sort of drawn twice with them already this season. They've tended to save some of their better performances for playing the elite teams. They've got a good record against most of the teams up there. Even if you go back to like the Arsenal game when they should have beaten Arsenal and they, they were well clear in that game and then chucked it away. It was a fluke goal in there, and you know things went against Chelsea from that moment. And that's the problem, I think, with Chelsea. When things go wrong, they're not able to just sort of dust themselves down. And we spoke earlier on, didn't we, about Real Madrid. Real Madrid are the exact opposite of that. And I think Chelsea of kind of the Terry and Lampard era was capable of that. You know, they would still make mistakes occasionally. They would still fall behind in situations, but they don't then compound that misery by making another mistake and gifting another goal away sort of, you know, straight afterwards. And the amount of times you've seen Chelsea, like somebody will make a mistake and then somebody else will do something stupid sort of in quick succession. I think a lot of that is down to a lack of experience sort of in the squad as a whole. And even when they're thrashing Everton and what was, you know, the best result of the season in many respects, certainly from a widest margin point of view, they still manage to come up with a story that then becomes something else when they're three of them fighting over a penalty. And that was the behaviour of children. And in footballing terms, they are sort of, you know, a young sort of children-like side. And so I don't think they can be the finished article at the moment. To beat Manchester City at Wembley in an FA Cup semi-final, you've got to be able to put it in for 90 minutes. And that's the question mark. Can they do that?
I guess that if we're talking about stories surrounding Chelsea, the story going into this one is Cole Palmer, isn't it? I mean, he's been absolutely brilliant for Chelsea this season. He's dragged them through so many games. Quality with seemingly every part of his game. I mean, can he come back to haunt his old club here?
Well, he's got the potential to do it. I think I, like many others, were of the opinion that City were getting the better end of that deal when it was first announced. Because you've got, over the last couple of years, the worst buyers in the Premier League, or certainly there is a close contest. Them and Manchester United have been terrible, really, in the transfer market. And Manchester City have tended to get their sales right and their whole transfer business correct. And yet on this occasion, you know, it feels like, you know, Man City have let one go in that respect. And, you know, he's somebody that can play out wide. He can play off the centre forward. He could play as the centre forward as well. Such a threat in front of goal. Good at penalties. He wouldn't have done what Bernardo Silva did last night, would he? With heat spot kick. And he's had a lot of penalties. I mean, yeah, he wouldn't have, let's put it this way, he wouldn't have won the Golden Boot if Nicholas Jackson would have had his way and been on penalties for most of the season. But he's still got to tuck them away. I've referenced it before on Betts Club. He is somebody that is, I think, quite selfish. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because Harry Kane, for instance, sort of goal scorer supreme, he's very selfish and always has been sort of in and around the penalty area. And I think Cole Palmer is somebody that, I'm saying selfish, he'll probably say taking responsibility. I do wonder whether maybe that's what Pep Guardiola didn't like, in that he wants his players to, you know, it's always looking for that next pass. And I think there are times when Palmer just likes to have a shoot, have a shot. And maybe there's something to be said for, taking that responsibility. But if you're Manchester City, you know, he still wouldn't get into their team, would he? He wouldn't get into their best 11, because he's not going to replace Grealish. He's not going to replace Foden, De Bruyne, or Bernardo Silva. So
I was going to say, I mean, you on paper probably have let one go, but you know, if he's not breaking into the 11 and you're picking up 40 odd million, then you know it's sensible business from that sense, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose the only thing you would say is that De Bruyne is 32, and you know, maybe one more year, and then you start to sort of ease De Bruyne out of that starting 11. But Palmer wanted to play. Chelsea came up with a big offer. I wouldn't blame City for selling him. Well done to Chelsea and well done to Palmer as well, because the easy thing is always to sit, I think, at sort of a team like Man City and pick up your medals. But he wanted to actually go and, do something. He's going to potentially win fewer trophies at Chelsea, but any that he does win will, have more to do with him.
Absolutely. In terms of prep, far from ideal coming into this from a Manchester City perspective. I know we always say, the squad is so deep, et cetera, but that would have been a bitterly disappointing night for them.
It would have. The only thing, I think they would have felt the tiredness more had they won in the Champions League, because you're looking at a semi-final against Bayern Munich, going well in the league. The FA Cup is the third of those priorities. Now, as we were speaking about earlier, don't want to go out of two competitions in sort of 3-4 days. That really would be a significant blow and potentially a psychological one in terms of the Premier League as well, which is the number one priority now for Manchester City. So I think City, they were rested up before that. You barely had a game against Luton. They can rotate Stones, Ake, maybe Alvarez. Doku didn't play much. Haaland only played 90 minutes, so it's not like he's gone the full 120. I see what you're saying from a tiredness factor, but I think there'll be a hunger in those City bellies that potentially wasn't there had they won that spot kick against Real Madrid.
With all of that being said, Mark, what's your best bet for this one?
I'm going for Man City to win and both teams to score. Chelsea have caused City problems and both league games were draws. What I would say about that one at the Etihad was City dominated from an expected goals point of view, 2.6 to 1.4. And why I feel that Chelsea are improving, they've got daft mistakes in them and that's likely to be punished by City. But Chelsea are the FA Cup outright selection. So, If City don't win and both teams score, hopefully City go out.
Okay, that's one semi-final down. Let's get on to the other one now. Coventry, Manchester United next up. Let's take a look at the prices. This one, 3:30 on Sunday, 5-1 Coventry, 15-4 the draw, 9-20 Manchester United. I suspect, Mark, we've spoken a lot about Manchester United. We know they're few strengths, their many weaknesses. Coventry, on the other hand, maybe slightly more unknown to the listeners. Playoffs probably out of the picture now for them in the Championship. It was a slow start, but they've picked up a couple of injuries in recent weeks. Not the best form coming into this, but still, the job that Mark Robbins has done since he took over and bouncing back from, I guess, disappointment of playoff final defeat last season, they can hold their heads high at the moment.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I don't think they're going to make the Championship playoffs this season now. Sort of recent results have gone against them. But I think the foundations are there for them to build on what they've already been doing and to go again next season in terms of a promotion push. Robin's taken them from League Two to a penalty kick sort of away from the Premier League. They lost that shootout in the playoff final to Luton. I think that definitely hurt them, really, in terms of this season, because they made a horrendous start. The only one, I was just having a look at it, actually, the only one, that November international break, they only won 3 games in the Championship until that point. So definitely playoff hangover, the loss of Gyökeres up front, was key. Was over 50 goal contributions for Sporting in Portugal this season. He'll be, probably moving on in the summer. And he was a sensational player and is kind of gone on again. But I still think for a Championship team to reach the semi-finals of the FA Cup is an incredible achievement. And I say this through slightly gritted teeth, because Coventry provided me with one of the worst days in my FA Cup memory when they beat Tottenham in the 1987 FA Cup final. I was there as a young lad at Wembley, heartbroken at sort of various aspects of that defeat, Gary Mabbutt's own goal, and 1-0 up after about 80 seconds. So
I've always loved about you, Mark, the fact that you don't hold grudges. I think that's a nice part of you.
Well, from a betting point of view, you can't because even the teams that cause you the most pain and distress are just Team A and Team B when they've got a betting odd next to them.
Manchester United, this feels like a game that they should be winning, right? And the prices dictate that. Coventry, I think they've lost three of their last four. Partly, part of my mind says maybe Cover just thinking that, you know, this is on the horizon and that, you know, this is where all importance lies now, with playoffs kind of out of the picture, just about. Is it going to be that straightforward?
No, I don't think so. I definitely don't think so. Like, let's just forget they're called Manchester United. Just look, you know, what are your eyes telling you? I wouldn't even look at the Premier League table. If you've watched United's games in the last few months, they are vulnerable. This is not a stroll up for United. I'm going to go for Coventry or draw double chance. So Cov to take it beyond 90 minutes. I look at United. They've lost at home this season to Fulham, to Bournemouth, to Palace. They drawn at Bournemouth last week. I don't want to talk about that VAR penalty in the last moment. I put up 3-2 Bournemouth to win and got a notification on my phone. I wasn't watching the last 10 minutes. Got a notification. They got a penalty and then it was overturned. But yeah, this is a team that, you know, drew against Brentford, but were completely outplayed. They lost at Nottingham Forest. They've won all four games against the current bottom four in the Premier League, which is, I suppose, where you'd put Coventry if they were a Premier League team. But all of those wins were by one goal. So I think if you're taking short prices about Manchester United to win this game, there's going to be a nervous moment or 10, you know, during it. They might just have too much quality in the final third, whether it's a Fernandes or a Rashford, Garnacho, you know, whoever it is, that can happen because they've got Premier League quality, but they're not playing in any way with the right structure to be confident of winning this game. And Coventry, they've taken 4 points off Leeds this season. They've beaten Leicester. They've won at Wolves in the FA Cup. They've drawn against Southampton. You know, we're talking here about the sort of best teams in the Championship and also, you know, a real good yardstick in terms of Premier League in Wolves, and that they went there and caused them problems. So this is not a gimme for Manchester United. It should be, but it's not. And so I'm going to go for Coventry not to lose in 90 minutes.
Really excited about that one. Big day out for Coventry fans. Could be a very exciting day for yourselves. Let's get on to the Premier League games now. Not so many Premier League games to get through this week, but we will give you comprehensive insight into all of them. A couple of Saturday 3 o'clock fixtures. We'll start with Luton against Brentford, 21-10 Luton, 11-4 the draw, 23-20 Brentford. Call us this one, Mark.
Brentford to win. I mean, Luton been decimated by injuries. And if you look at Brentford, they're healthier now. I'm beaten in four matches, beat Sheffield United, and they had a run of draws, didn't they, against Man United, Brighton and Aston Villa. Ivan Toney should be back. He missed that game against Sheffield United. He was sort of on the bench just as an insurance policy. And I have started to question whether we are being slightly patronising or too kind towards Luton. Because team now, look, from a budgeting point of view, they're obviously, you know, miles off it and they are doing well to still be in the mix. But they're not picking up many points. So I'm just talking from a betting point of view. Odds against Brentford feels sort of fair enough to me.
Well, let's have a quick look at this relegation battle. Obviously, points deductions have thrown it all up in the air. But Luton's still only a point from safety. I mean, can you see them surviving this season?
Not with the amount of players they've had out. The teams, if we go back to when they were sort of dominating teams, you go back a couple of months, they were actually playing, I think, well in games, and you beat Newcastle, didn't they, and Brighton, and were causing problems. Just had so many injuries. They had no centre-back for that game at Man City last week, and bringing on players that you barely knew were still there at the club. So I don't think that they will survive. And, you know, what the league table says now, let's remember, it might not look like that come the end of the season, because Forest and Everton might have something to say about those point deductions. And, you know, the courts might yet make sort of, you know, some of them points back. So I think it's going to be very difficult for Luton. I I see them getting relegated. I know that's not a big shout, because most people have said that all season. I've been relatively positive about them, but that sort of spell either side of Christmas, I just don't see that Luton anymore at the moment. Mm. I think it's a team, they've had a lot of hard games, but it just looks like a team that's in desperate need of getting their players back.
It always feels, doesn't it, as well? I mean, these sides with lower budgets, lower wage bills, etc. It often comes down to squad depth. You lose a couple of your key players and those teams in that next bracket have another to kind of fit in. Maybe not to the same level, but at least something that will keep you going for a month if it's a hamstring injury. If you're down the bottom there, it's really tough to have a like-for-like replacement. So, yeah, it struggles for Luton. Let's take a look at Sheffield United against Burnley then. 7-4, Sheffield United, 13-5, the draw, 29-20. The away team. Two sides that are probably looking forward to the end of this campaign.
I'm probably looking forward to playing each other as well, because it gives them an opportunity to win. I'm going to go for Burnley, draw, no bet. I actually feel like they're, you know, we're talking about Luton standard dropping off. I feel like Burnley might be playing some of their best football of the season at the moment. And it's just been stupid mistakes that have been costing them wins. But in the last seven games in the Premier League, they've actually won, in inverted commas, they've won four of them on expected goals. And the three that they didn't, one was against West Ham when they were leading early 2-0. So like game state was involved. Another was at Chelsea when they were down to 10 men for a large sort of spell of that game. And the third one that they failed to win on XG was Everton. But they only conceded 0.9 expected goals against in that game. So I'm sort of more positive about Burnley than I am Sheffield United. So I'll take Burnley with the insurance of draw no bet, because like I say, there'd be just too many errors have been costing them wins in recent weeks. You see the Craig Bellamy stuff afterwards where he was talking about rainbows and unicorns. It was quite interesting because he was talking about them as if they were both mythical characters or sort of mythical items. And of course, rainbows, last time I checked, were actually real. But there we go.
We still love Craig Bellamy. Well, I do anyway. 7:30 on Saturday, Wolves against Arsenal. Wolves 15-2, 4-1, the draw, 4-11, Arsenal. I suspect, Mark, if you're an Arsenal fan and you turn the calendar into April, you have sort of cold sweats, don't you? It's been a nightmarish April this year. It was the same last year. It just seems they get to this stage in the season and everything crumbles.
Yeah, some people suggesting that Arteta works the team too hard and then they just run out of gas. I tend to think we look at football results and then, like, what story can we put on it rather than the other way around? So I'm not going to say that it's an April thing for Arsenal. We glossed over their defeat in the Champions League, so it's probably worth just spending a minute on that. Very disappointing for them to go out to Bayern Munich in the way that they did. I was watching the Man City game, so it's only really picked up the highlights. But if you just look at the stats, there weren't that many chances created by Arsenal. You know, it wasn't that they gave up a load of opportunities either. But I'd say most neutral observers seem to think that the right team went through over the two legs. And that will be a disappointment because I don't think you can say that Bayern Munich are a better team than Arsenal. They're going for a lot in the Bundesliga this season. They have got that European pedigree, and that's something that Arsenal are still building up. But Arsenal's players are used to playing in big games. You know, the Premier League, every week's a big game. So I don't see that necessarily as an issue. They're a team that went away to City and Liverpool and got draws this season. So I don't see why they would suddenly crumble at the thought of the Champions League anthem being played, but didn't put their best foot forward over the course of the 180 minutes. You could say as well, actually, against Porto, more of a struggle than it should have been. So work to be done on the European front. But as a general rule, I see Arteta getting the maximum out of this Arsenal team. I'm not sure what sort of people expect from Arsenal. I mean, I'm looking at the league table. They've got 71 points after 32 games, on course for somewhere in the 80s. I mean, I just think that's what Arsenal are. Like this idea that they, you know, should be winning the league, I just don't get it. And they might still. I think that people overestimate how many sort of times teams win at this stage of the season. Man City are 5-2 to win their last six games of the season and 2-7 not to. And I reckon if you asked sort of the normal football fan in the street, will City win every game from here until the end of the season? What, probably more than 50% would say yes, wouldn't they, I think, to that. And yet the betting says that they'll drop points somewhere along the line as well. So you need to stay patient.
I suspect, though, Mark, it's because we've had these anomalies of the last couple of seasons where, you know, you've got a couple of teams going at 100 points a season and it does throw you off slightly.
City have just sort of distorted kind of what a normal championship winning team is and are. That's the problem with fighting against the City machine. And what I would say about Arsenal is that I'm not sure they're going to win all of their last six games either.
Do they win this one?
Well, from a betting point of view, I'm going to say no. I'm going to go for Wolves or draw, double chance. Been such a busy month for Arsenal. Been on the go, like, it's been relentless for them, hasn't it? With the big games that they've had. The disappointment of what happened against Aston Villa on Sunday, where by the end of the game, Villa deserved to win, in my opinion. And then, going out of the Champions League as well to Bayern Munich. Arteta's got huge job on his hands, sort of lifting spirits. And Wolves, yes, it's not a full-strength Wolves outfit, but we've seen Wolves cause problems for a lot of teams this season, particularly at Molineux. They've beaten Man City, they've beaten Tottenham, they've held Newcastle and Aston Villa. It's only two late goals from Liverpool as well that sort of saw the Reds win that game. So this is by no means an easy 3 points for Arsenal. They would gladly take like a 1-0 if they could get out of Molineux with a 1-0 win. And I just think if you're backing a team at like 4-11, I think you want more in your favour than what you currently got with Arsenal.
Absolutely. Yeah, well put. Let's move on to Sunday's fixtures. 1:30 sees Everton hosting Nottingham Forest. Even money, Everton 5-2, the draw 11-4. Forest, goodness me, being an Everton fan, Mark, must be seriously stressful, mustn't it?
Yeah, a dismal performance, obviously, at Stamford Bridge. They've only won one of their last 15 in the Premier League. But now look at Nottingham Forest. I mean, they've only won two of their last 13 in the Premier League. This one, I'm going to go for a draw. Forest have drawn three of their last five. I mean, yeah, you're a braver punter than me if you've got a strong opinion on this one.
Okay, Aston Villa against Bournemouth Sunday, 3 o'clock. Couple of 3 o'clock kickoffs on the Sunday. 3-4 Villa, 16-5 the draw, 16-5 Bournemouth. Villa at home, scary prospect.
Well, it used to be. More recently, that they have dropped points at home. They're in pole position now for full spot, but I can't trust them to keep a clean sheet. But I was sort of looking at kind of various goal-related bets and like the prices are short. I think everybody's expecting a goal fest. So I just looked at it slightly differently and went for Dominic Solanke to score at around about 15-8. He's scored in 10 of his last 20 matches. So he's going at a good rate, I think, for someone that's nearly 2-1 to score in this game. And then you look at Villa at home in the Premier League. Burnley got two goals. Newcastle got three. Chelsea got three in the FA Cup as well. Man United got a couple. Forest got two. Tottenham got four. Brentford got three. So they do give you an opportunity. And Solanke has really grown into the season. Not saying Villa will lose or drop points. I'm sort of on the fence on that one. But I can see both teams scoring. That's a short price. I'm trying to get more juice in it. So we're going for Solanke to score.
Yeah, good season he's having so far. The other 3 o'clock on
the
Sunday.
I'll take him at Tottenham, Solanke.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
How much do you think they'd demand for him?
I don't know. Maybe we could give him... who have we got? Emerson Royale, Manos Solomon, probably about 5 million though, Daniel Levy. I don't know. Would they? They probably wouldn't sell him for sort of 30, 40 million, would they? But I've got him in that kind of bracket, I suppose.
Okay. You can dream. Crystal Palace, West Ham, 23-20. Palace, 13-5. The draw, 23-10. West Ham. Crystal Palace last weekend, Mark. Very impressive.
I didn't expect that. I was talking about Liverpool trying to build their goal difference. If anything, it was Palace trying to build theirs at one stage. I mean, when they were 1-0 up and nearly took advantage. on another day, though, like Liverpool take those chances and we're looking at, you know, a kind of routine 3-1. And we'd say,
Palace had chances as well, as you said.
They did. I mean, Elise, and Eze. Or have we got calling Eze now? I mean, it used to be Eze. I think the commentators... Eze
sounds better, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't know where this Eze came from, but it seems to be all the rage at the moment. So we've got him and Elise's back. Mateta, handful up front. One of the best games I've seen him play. Admittedly, he's not somebody that I watch his 90 minutes back. I haven't got player cam on Mateta throughout the season. But when I do occasionally watch Crystal Palace, that was as good as I've seen him. Joachim Andersen at the back was fantastic. The Palace fans won't forgive me if I don't mention Wharton in midfield. That's coming along nicely. So, there was a lot to like about the Crystal Palace performance, albeit that, like I say, if Liverpool take their chances, they do win the game. I actually am not going to go for Crystal Palace in this game against West Ham because I'm just not in a rush for them to back it up. I think I'd need to see more from them on a consistent basis. So I'm going for a draw. West Ham have got this big game against Bayer Leverkusen on Thursday. I was speaking before that. But even recently, they've won at Wolves and Everton. And Jarrod Bowen is close to a return. So he's definitely back in training. So that would be a big lift for them. You're talking about Elise back for Palace. I think, West Ham having Bowen back potentially sort of catapults them into a different level of team.
Yeah, absolutely. Sunday 4:30, the final game we'll be previewing in the Premier League this week. Fulham hosting Liverpool, 19-4 Fulham, 15-4 the draw, 1-2 Liverpool. It's not been a great week for English sides in Europe, Mark. I mean, this time last week, or a bit before this time last week, you were going, so much on the line for all of these sides, and it's all gone up in flames in the last week.
This could age badly. Liverpool.
It could. But in terms of Premier League, in one sense, far from the ideal start in their first leg for Liverpool.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I said that in jest. The Premier League was the big one, though, for Liverpool. And so it started with that Manchester United where they just should have won. And then it starts so badly against Crystal Palace in the next Premier League game. We sort of gloss over what happened against Atalanta, but that wasn't good either. But
I just get the sense when I watch, they're just wasteful.
I mean, Nunez has always sort of had that in his locker to be wasteful.
Salah,
I mean, again, he's somebody that will miss chances, the amount that he creates normally for himself, but he hasn't been at the exceptional Mo Salah standard, has he? I don't think, probably since AFCON and he got injured. And, there were times at his best when he just wins games on his own. And that's just not been happening for him. Jota's been injured. I think Luis Diaz has had to shoulder a lot of the responsibility in recent months. Some of their senior players could be that they're on empty now because, they were, when they had the injury crisis, there were four or five of those players that were being rolled out, weren't they, every week? And they were, like someone like Diaz, was carrying the forward line for a while. So maybe that's played a part. I've been disappointed with the recent results because, and not just because I'm on Liverpool in the without City betting, and they've had their chances to maybe even go on and win the league. Just think that that Palace performance, you're absolutely right, just wasn't good enough, I don't think, even allowing for those wastefulness in front of goal. The collective wasn't there, and Palace did have chances. There was the one cleared off the line. There was that brilliant Alisson save late on. When Liverpool are at the best, those things just don't happen. So Liverpool are not peak of their powers at the moment. Fulham, I've absolutely no idea what Fulham is going to show up. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. I'm going to go for Liverpool to win 2-1. I don't fancy the Merseysiders for a clean sheet. Three of their four away clean sheets have come up Forest, Burnley and Sheffield United. Fulham are better than those sides. I think they can score. But, assuming that somebody in the Liverpool team takes responsibility for scoring goals, they should have enough to win the game.
OK, that's your Premier League card marked. We shall trot into the EFL now with Dan Charles. If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets, and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets. Always a pleasure to be joined by Dan Childs. For those that are watching the video, Dan has got, I assume, is that Portsmouth blue, Dan, in celebration of their League One campaign?
Just to celebrate them winning promotion. Really good achievement for them, this season. Last season, League One was really tough, to get out of. A lot of big teams in there this season as well, the likes of Bolton and Derby. And to do it, with two games to go, is no mean feat, really. They've been a very well organised team. John Mussino, pretty much a rookie manager when he went in there. Wasn't everybody's first choice. I think Portsmouth fans would have to admit when he took the job, but very quickly got them going towards the end of last season. They finished last season quite positively, and have been started this season strong, and have kept up the pace. Had a few wobbles around the sort of Christmas period and turn of the year, but no, they've been grinding out the results and did it again in that massive result that they got at Bolton, the second from last game before winning promotion, and then got over the line obviously with a 3-2 win over Barnsley. So really grinding the results out. Some teams have maybe been better footballing teams than them, but they've been the most focused, organised team.
I just hope for our sake that they don't keep hold of Abu Kamara. He's been absolutely sensational there this season. I suspect plenty of bookmakers, Dan, are slightly wary. Portsmouth were fancied pre-season, have won League One. Stockport County fancied pre-season, have won League Two. Ipswich Town fancied pre-season a big price, closing in on promotion in the Championship. So all of these anti-post selections bubbling really nicely at the moment.
Yeah, I think Stockport were among the favourites for that level. Obviously, Wrexham were right up there as well. Big budget in that division. But again, another tricky league to win. Mansfield, been strong again this season. Have also, gone up automatically. But really good. Stockport, again, they've been pace setting for most of the season. Had a little wobble again, sort of, around about sort of late winter time. But they've really, kicked on recently. Big string of wins and deservedly got over the line.
We shall stay in the division that Stockport County compete in, because the team of the focus this week, Doncaster, it's been an interesting campaign for themselves.
Yeah, I remember talking to you, Jack. It must have been back in early autumn. I'd just come back from, I've been on holiday in August, and I've watched, you were laughing at me, because I've watched their game at home to Everton in the early rounds of the AFL Cup. And I was talking about how well I thought they'd played against a strong Everton team, and I couldn't believe that they'd started so badly in League Two. Well, they actually carried on with quite bad results for a while in League Two, and they've been, I think they were 22nd at the end of February, 20th at the end of March, start of March, and they've ended up eight match winning run, and they've suddenly it's actually in their hands now to finish in the playoffs. They're ninth at the moment, but they've got a game in hand on most of the other teams. If they get three more wins, they're going to finish in the playoffs. I can see them doing it. I'm looking at their promotion price. They're still 14-1. I'm not sure the bookmakers have really caught up there, because I think if they get into the playoffs, there is an argument they more than likely end up with MK Dons, who are probably going to finish fourth. So it'd be the toughest of the ties they could get if they make it. But the way they're playing, nobody's going to want to come up against them. They've got attackers that are scoring goals regularly. Hakeem Adelican, Luke Molyneux, Joe Ironside, all in great form at the moment for them. And it wouldn't surprise me if they actually get promoted.
There's stories all across the EFL, as we know. That's why we love it, Dan. Crawley Town as well. I mean, everyone was just assuming they were going down this season. Currently in the playoffs, they've had a remarkable season as well. Just a quick word on them.
They're in the playoffs, and yet, it's a little bit like a lot of the teams don't seem to want this seventh spot. Since they've gone there, they've actually only got 1 point from the last three games, but they're still hanging on in there. Probably out of them, Doncaster, Walsall, there's a couple of other clubs in with an outside, with a chance of getting that seventh spot. Sixth spot still could be up for grabs as well. Barrow are not quite over the line. So, it's going right to the wire there in League Two. Crawley, yeah, they have got a slight chance of going up as well.
Just absolutely love this time of the season. Right, three selections for this weekend's matches. Who's the first?
We're going to start off in League One. I think a Blackpool team going for the playoffs in League One. They've not actually been in the top six since October, and they're still 3 points outside at the moment. But there's often a team that comes late and sneaks into those playoffs. Could be Blackpool this year in League One. They're home to Barnsley, who are fifth. So that's one of the two teams they're chasing Barnsley and Oxford. If they beat Barnsley, they would be 2 points behind Barnsley going into the last round of fixtures. And I think this is a game that Blackpool can win. Inconsistency has been Blackpool's problem for most of the season, but they have been quite strong against a lot of the bigger teams. Had a big win away to Portsmouth. I think they won at home to Bolton as well. So they've got, you know, good form against the big teams. And they finally found that consistency they've been looking for. Got three wins on the bounce for the first time this season, Blackpool. Barnsley, they've been kind of in that top six most of the season. They've dipped at the wrong time. Had 1 point they've taken the last four games. Played pretty well in that game I mentioned at Portsmouth in midweek where they lost 3-2, but didn't get the result. They're just in a nasty habit at the moment, at the wrong stage of the season, in not getting the results at the moment. And I think they're going to have to wait to the final weekend if they're going to nail down that playoff spot. I can see Blackpool winning this one.
Blackpool, first up, two more to go. Who's next?
Yeah, we'll drop down to League Two. Wrexham, I fancy to win away to Crewe. Now, the stage of the season where if a team's already promoted like Wrexham are, you'll get people thinking, you know, I'm wondering, you know, how much are they going to be up for this game? Crewe are in the playoffs and still got to need a couple more points to nail down that playoff spot. I just think that Wrexham, they're still battling for second place with Mansfield. There's a little bit of pride involved there. Fans would have already bought their tickets for this game as well before knowing that Wrexham were promoted when the midweek results happen. So they got promoted last weekend with a 6-0 win at home to Forest Green. But there's going to be a lot of big away support there. I think they're going to want to be, you know, following on and celebrating in style. Crewe at the moment are really injury hit. They lost 3-0 at home to Grimsby last weekend. They're kind of limping towards those playoffs at the moment. And Wrexham, you know, at the odds, so their odds against to win here away to an out of sorts Crewe, I think that's a good bet.
Blackpool, Wrexham, who joins them as the third selection?
Yeah, we'll stick with League Two. Going to go with another team that know their kind of fate, if you like. MK Dons know they're going to be in the playoffs. They're away to Harrogate, who have got a very, very outside slim chance of finishing the playoffs. I can see MK Dons showing their quality here and getting the away win. They've been pretty strong ever since Mike Williamson went in there last autumn. I think if he'd been in charge from the start of the season, there's an argument to suggest they could have finished in the top three. MK Dons, they'll have a big chance in the playoffs when it comes round. Mike Williamson's going to want them to be kind of in building momentum before those playoffs. They still need a few more points just to make sure that they finish either fourth or fifth, and make sure that, I know a lot of managers want that second leg of the playoff semi-final to be at home. So I think they'll be aware of that. Harrogate, they've done well really to get to the last two games, and you know the size of that club, and still have an outside chance of the playoffs. But their form has dipped. They've won only three of the last 14 matches. Seem to be tallying off at the wrong time. I think MK Dons, shade of odds against. I think they can go there and win.
Great stuff. So much going on in the EFL at the moment. We'll be staying across it, not only on here, but also on the Racing Post Sport website. Blackpool, Wrexham and MK Dons, the selections for this weekend. Dan, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Jack.
Big thanks to Dan. As always, we shall get some of Mark's best bets for this weekend. We always like to start with a bet builder. Are we going to the FA Cup semi-finals for this one?
I felt obliged to do so. City against Chelsea, over 2.5 goals. I don't think that Chelsea can play this any other way, really. They're much better going forward than they are defensively. I'm going for over 1.5 Cole Palmer shots on target. He's had 20 shots on target in his last 8 games. He will be desperate to get one over City. I've absolutely no doubt about that. And as we've spoken about a couple of times already, he's takes responsibility / selfish and will have shots at goal. And then to round it all off, for around about 16-1 shot, I'm going for Caicedo to be carded. He's been carded in both of the league games against Man City. City, a lot of trickery in and around the sort of penalty box, and Caicedo is aggressive / dirty.
Good way of putting it. A treble for this weekend.
Right, so this needs to be put on by Friday evening. Going for Oxford to beat Stevenage. Steve Evans left Stevenage the other day, the mighty Steve Evans, back to Rotherham. But Oxford also desperately need the points. I don't think Stevenage, much to sort of go for them now, really, come the end of the season, need a lot for them to get into the playoffs. So means a lot more to Oxford. And I thought they'd be shorter given the Steve Evans news as well. Oxford have won three of their last four as well. Brentford's have beat Luton. Luton just carrying too many injuries. And the drop-off between their kind of starting 11 and the person that comes in, I think, is a problem. You said it, didn't you? It always is for the teams at the bottom end of the Premier League. And as a Norwich fan, you'd know all about that. And then finally, Real Madrid were out on their feet on Wednesday. They put so much into that game against Manchester City. There were players coming off with cramp and other kinds of injuries. Barcelona have had an extra 24 hours rest. Got to get over the disappointment of the Champions League. But it's Clasico on Sunday. I'm going for Barcelona or draw, double chance. So just to repeat the treble, Oxford to beat Stevenage on Friday, Brentford to beat Luton on Saturday, Barcelona or draw, double chance on Sunday.
Brilliant. And in terms of an app, who is it?
Going for Coventry v Manchester United, both teams to score. Coventry have scored in 25 of their last 27 championship games. Sims has been on fire for them. Manchester United, even now they're going down in grade to a championship team, I don't trust them defensively to be able to keep clean sheets. The amount of shots they're allowing, second most in the Premier League, is a joke, really, for a team of their wage bill. And it may well be that United's forward players get them out of trouble, but I can definitely see Coventry, going for it and causing some problems for United. So I'll go for both teams to score. It's a shorter price than Coventry or draw, double chance, pretty, and it has got more chance of landing.
Okay, there we go. That's all of your selections for this week. Spurs don't play for a while now, do they? And the next one's a biggie.
Oh, God, yeah. Already hiding behind the sofa at the prospect of tackling Arsenal. The good news is because Arsenal, well, there's lots of good news. Arsenal are out of the Champions League. That's good news. But that means the game's being played on Sunday. And I normally say, oh, I hate Sunday games. I couldn't make the Saturday match. So
it was
rescheduled to the Saturday. I couldn't have made it the Sunday. Yeah, so 2 weeks prep for that. And this week, absolutely nothing on. I mean that sort of in terms of sort of going out rather than from a clothes point of view. I will have clothes on, but I won't be going out. It's going to be a real quiet weekend in front of the TV. Can't wait.
Well, you never know on the clothes, right? If it's a scorcher down in your neck of the woods.
It's definitely not a scorcher. It's absolutely free. I was heating them back on last night. Yes. Goodness me, where's that come? So I need a few of these bets to come in. Those heating bills.
I was going to say, your heating's not been on in this house since the 1st of April and won't be going back on, even if we freeze. There we go. Thanks to you, Mark. Thanks to Dan. As always, we'll be back next Thursday for another episode of Bets Club. Until then, stay safe, be responsible with your gambling. We'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.